Blue Mountain Christian University offers a fully online RN to BSN degree for registered nurses. This cohort-based program is designed for working nurses and can be completed in as little as 1 year or part-time over 2 years. RN to BSN students are admitted each fall, and coursework is delivered online with instruction grounded in a Christian worldview. Learn more about the RN to BSN online degree at bmc.edu.
It's First Time Caller Day on Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
It is First Time Callers, so start lining up, folks. If you've never been on the show with us, today could be your day.
So First Time Callers only today. Now we're going to ask three questions each.
The quack of a duck does not produce an echo. Is that true or false?
That falls under the category of it's just wrong.
Yes.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. It is Friday, July the 10th, 2026. Yes, we're almost a week removed from July the 4th. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And the pride of Owensburg, Kentucky, J.J. Jasper.
Good morning. Guys, my wife is upset.
Why is that?
My wife is upset because I never buy her flowers. And honestly, I never even knew she sold flowers.
Ba-da-boom. Is this where you tell me don't laugh and encourage him?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
it doesn't matter if you encourage him or not.
Hey, right. and in full disclosure, I give Melanie flowers almost every single week. I grow flowers in the vegetable garden.
Yeah.
And so I pick her fresh flowers almost every week. So you guys need to bring it.
Yeah.
You need to step up.
I'm not going to waste my money.
You know, if you
giving stuff that's going to die.
But if you. Well, that's a good attitude toward life right there, life and love.
And be sure and catch Ed. He's going to be speaking at that marriage conference.
She wants flowers out of our flower garden. Her legs aren't broken.
Wow. You know what? You heard the old expression, stop digging?
Or have you ever heard the old expression about sleeping on the couch?
Yeah, sleeping
that's
on
a real
couch.
Thing.
Or you ever heard the old expression, dead man walking?
How about fix your own bologna sandwich? How about that one? All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. It's first-time callers only.
Hey!
First-time callers only. So if you've never gotten in on the show, today is your day. Here's the phone number to call us and ask and answer a trivia question. Here's the phone number, 888-589-8840. I'll give it slowly for you listeners in the South. You ready? 888-589-8840. 8840.
Can I weigh in on that, listeners in the South?
Yeah.
Yesterday evening, took two pieces of white bread, lathered them down with mayonnaise, and put slices of tomato, a whole lot of salt. Not tomato on ham, tomato on turkey.
Yeah.
Had a Mater sandwich yesterday, a little South in my mouth.
That's a classic right there. Yeah,
that's good.
Absolutely.
No black pepper, though?
No black pepper, but a lot of people listening north of the Mason-Dixon line, you say fried green tomatoes, grits, some of those kinds of things, Mater salad, they're like, wait, a Mater sandwich? You go, is that a real thing? It absolutely is,
it's
along
delicious.
With sweet tea and all the rest.
All right, we're going to give three questions each, and then ask you to call in and ask and answer. What's the ground rules here, Ed?
Well, first of all, if one of these nine original questions, three each, for those of you who are counting on both hands, one of them's a mystery question. And if you pick it and answer it correctly, you will hear this sound.
Ah, the beloved cowbell.
Beloved.
Shall ring.
And that means you will win a brand new, as JJ's always talking about, newly designed. It's really just weeks old.
Idea.
Learning University t-shirt. If you're watching online, Tim is holding it up. If you want to go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, you can look for the t-shirt and you can see it.
You can order one?
And you can order one.
How much are they?
I have no idea.
Like $20 or something, I think.
It's probably a fair price.
Yeah. You know, most of the T-shirts, I was looking at some of these really cool T-shirts for the 250th anniversary for the country. Really nice patriotic ones. They were like $35 a piece.
Everything's gone up.
Wow. So that's a good deal. Well, I think it's $18 or $20 for our T-shirt, and it helps the ministry.
Absolutely. What else, JJ?
I think that's it. We've got three questions each.
You got to be 11 years old.
You have to be 11 years old. We encourage you to
or older
to answer a question of ours and or ask a question.
Oh, it's only for 11 year olds today.
Only 11. It's 11 year old caller day.
Everybody else 11 only. 11 years old only and first time callers.
Yeah,
and also first time callers.
All right, so
I think we're ready to get started. Did you give out the number?
He did. I can give it out again.
I got it. In honor of JJ, I got a joke.
Hey.
You do.
I'm ready.
You ready? Why did the golfer bring two pair of pants?
I don't know. I have no idea.
No idea.
In case he got a hole in one.
I like it.
How about that?
I like it.
JJ likes it.
JJ, don't encourage.
You might hear that again.
Don't encourage.
Why did the golfer bring two pair of pants? In case he got a hole in one.
Ba-da-boom.
Go, Ed.
All right. Here are my three questions. Question number one. What are considered the three Scandinavian countries? Can you name them? What are considered the three Scandinavian countries? I came up with that because these countries has had a pretty good run in the World Cup of soccer. So,
and they've got a real Viking on their team.
Real Viking.
Yeah.
Second question, what hero of the Revolutionary War was nicknamed the Swamp Fox? What hero of the Revolutionary War was nicknamed the Swamp Fox? And then I've been doing these Bill of Rights questions about amendments.
And they continue.
And they continue.
Yes, 4th of July leftovers.
Yeah. Some of these are getting a little difficult. All you have to do is look them up, folks. Just look up the Bill of Rights. And this is good learning for you. The Eighth Amendment protects citizens against three things. I just want you to name one. The Eighth Amendment protects citizens against three things. Just name one of them. All you have to do is Google it, and the answer will come up. All right, that's what I got.
All right, my first question from the Bible. Although Jesus had no favorites, three disciples appeared with Jesus more often than not. Name them. Second question, what Greek physician is known as the father of medicine? And a little bit of a hint, you hear his name come up in different medical terms. What Greek physician is known as the father of medicine?
I didn't know Dr. Phil was Greek.
No, he wasn't it Homer?
Homer.
Wasn't it? Am I right?
I think you better worry about that hole in one.
Third question. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Third question, true or false? Every 3 days, your stomach manufactures a new lining. Is that true or false? Every three days, your stomach manufactures a new lining.
After you,
true or false?
Well, if you eat Mexican.
It's every two and a half.
Maybe two and a half days. That's right. With heavy jalapenos.
Yes.
All right. So here are my three questions. What state is the driest by average in annual precipitation? What state is the driest by average in annual precipitation? Actually, this state gets under 10 inches.
Oh, so you're not talking about sense of humor.
Driest sense of humor. I think precipitation.
That's what.
I think that gives it.
That's what clarified it for
clarified
me.
Clarified it for you.
Our town was a dry county. We was in a dry county for years, but it had nothing to do with precipitation. It was more about spirits.
Spirits. All right, here's the second question I have. What musical term describes a gradual increase in volume in a piece of music?
Oh.
Well, I used to have this when I was in the, in the orchestra.
When you were a third chair cello player.
I was a third chair.
I'm glad you mentioned, music, specifically music.
Come on, I was about to say. Ed's going to not think I know it. I got to write it down to prove it.
I was talking, AJ.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's okay.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. This is just like what happens at my house.
I got a joke.
I was just going to say You know what? I'm just not going to. I'm just not going to say it.
Go ahead.
No,
because
it's not funny enough now.
We why value don't, your why opinion.
Why don't eggs tell jokes?
Why? The yolks on them.
They crack each other up.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, man.
I got more.
I'm afraid of that.
I got more.
Really
I'm going to bring it
afraid.
Today. Okay. Go ahead.
The moment.
It was, timing was it, is everything.
The okay. moment. That's right. Timing is everything. And thanks to you, yokels.
Yeah.
See, I got that yoke in
local
there.
Local yokels. All right. So what musical term describes a gradual increase in volume in a piece of music? And the third one is, what is the most popular kind of mushroom for cooking? What is the most popular kind of mushroom for cooking in the U.S.?
Hmm.
All right. Do you know the answer to that?
I have a good guess on that. You okay. want me to give it?
No, because I worked hard for this question.
Here's
no.
the deal. You got homemakers got one answer, and hippies out in the woods got a totally different answer.
They got a different answer.
All right. Hippies out in the woods.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to do some cooking. Yo.
You don't see a lot of hippies out in the woods.
Are hippies a thing anymore?
They probably call them homeless.
Well, they're
now.
Out in the woods.
They're probably
so
called
we don't know.
Unhoused. Unhoused and unwashed.
There's probably a joke there about if a hippie does something in the woods,
nobody hears it. Right.
Does it really happen?
If a hippie picks the wrong kind of mushroom in the woods, nobody's there to witness it. It didn't happen.
Are they really hallucinating?
I'm going to save you all from going any deeper.
Are you? Okay,
down
you saved
this dark
us.
Hole.
I got
here.
A joke.
What do you say we
I
go
got
to,
an, I got
oh,
another
man,
joke.
Please. Go ahead. No, I want
to
hear
I really do want to hear it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. Why did the computer go to the doctor?
I don't know.
Because he caught a virus.
I like it.
Oh, man.
I like it.
I got more.
Yeah. Huh? There's whole websites.
Sprinkle those in. Sprinkle those in throughout
I got,
the show.
I'll give you,
good
JJ, you use them in your stand-up routine.
The problem
Speaking
is
of
he's
which,
not sprinkling
yeah.
them in. We're getting the water hose, fire hose.
A couple of weeks from now, Thursday night, July the 23rd, stand-up comedy, Green Valley Baptist Church in Pontotoc, Mississippi. Johnny W., very, very funny Christian comedian, and I'm opening for him. It's a ticketed event, but two comedians for the
right.
price of one.
Don't blow it. This is your chance.
That's exactly right.
You could be a headliner one day, but you're going to be.
He is. He's already a headliner.
All right, let's go, Ed.
All right, let's go to Texas, where there are no dad jokes. Aaron is on the line. Aaron, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning, guys. Hey, they let me in before the new rule of being 11 came in, so
yeah.
Hey, well, Aaron, it's 2026. You just identify
right.
as being 11,
you
and you're
your
okay.
I will identify as 11.
Okay.
You sound right. like your voice already yeah. changed, and you're 13. So yeah. We may have to.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, proof. You're our kind of listener with that quick wit. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'm going to do both this morning.
Which one you feel confident about?
Hey, I got
about?
Another joke.
Hurry up, Aaron.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Go ahead and answer the one about the driest state by annual rainfall.
That was inappropriate on my part. Okay, yes, Aaron. The question before us is, what state is the driest by average in annual precipitation?
That would be Nevada.
Nevada.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Nevada.
Nicely done. I didn't know that.
Is that where Death Valley is?
Nevada.
Is that in Nevada?
Nevada? Isn't that between California and Nevada? I don't know.
Death
I've
Valley?
Never been there.
Oh.
I
want to
go.
There?
No, but I want to go.
Aaron, how'd you know that?
Well, I live in a really dry area, and I sometimes struggle to think that there could be places worse than this. So I'm always wondering if there's not places that could be worse to try to kind of bring my spirits up.
Are you in?
I think we all sort of think like that.
Listen,
it could be worse.
We're not therapists
yeah,
here, Aaron. We are not equipped to handle your issue there.
We're not licensed professionals.
I would refer you to a counselor.
Licensed professionals.
So, hey, let me ask you this. Where do you live in West Texas or something?
West Texas, out on the oil patch where it don't rain much.
It really doesn't. So, how much rain do you guys get a year? Do you know?
Well, our county does about probably between 14 and 16 on average per year. That's what our county gets.
Wow, that's
that
low.
Is dry.
That's
significantly
low.
significantly more than Nevada.
Aaron,
yeah.
when I was in your first time, I was in your part of the country. I saw my first tumbleweed. Heard all about the rattlesnake roundup over from you. it is a beautiful part of the country, but it is dry and dusty. And they told us, I was working construction, laying brick. They said they had the dust storms come through. The guys had like face masks in their tool bags, and we thought they were pranking us. But they said, no, these dust storms, big dust devils come through, and you'll suffocate if you don't put a mask on real
wow.
quick. They're in West Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's a real
Aaron
thing.
Knows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we deal with that. This year we're getting a lot of rain, so we praise God for that. We're not going to leave that out, but generally it's pretty dry.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Aaron. What's your question for us?
What was the name of the city that Cain founded after he was cast out of the presence of God? Question.
What is the city that Cain founded?
He founded a city when he was cast out of the presence of God after he slayed Abel. He founded a city. What was the name of that city?
We're going to talk amongst ourselves here. Hang on, Aaron. Don't say yes or no. Wasn't it Nod? It's strange. N-O-D.
I was thinking San Francisco, but that didn't seem right. Just kind of thinking about the level of ungodliness in that part of the country.
I think that was years later.
Years later.
Years later.
Name change. Let's go with the pastor. He's the only pastor on the panel.
Did you say Nod?
Nod.
Like, how do you spell that one?
N-O-D.
What about it, Aaron?
Well, so it was actually, Cain named it after his son Enoch. So the city was Enoch.
Okay.
I think you're thinking Lord of the Rings, and that's easy to get scripture and Lord of the Rings mixed up.
Have you guys ever heard of Nod?
Yes. No, I have my head.
Hey, Aaron, we hope we pray for rain. No, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to AFR.
I'm confused now.
Nod my head.
No, I think that was where, like, the whole thing about the Island of Misfits, and then they traveled to Nod.
Toys?
Yeah, you got a Christmas.
I think you're onto something, JJ.
You got a Christmas classic in the Bible mixed up. And that's understandable.
Well, okay, all right. So, you wise guys, all right?
Yeah.
In biblical tradition, Nod is not a city, but a geographic region east of Eden. According to Genesis, Cain fled there after killing Abel while in exile. Cain's wife gave birth to Enoch, in whose honor Cain built the very first city named Enoch, which was in Nod.
Okay, let me.
So
it always goes back to. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, just curious, who was in exile?
Cain.
How do you be in exile when there's no place on earth?
What do you mean there's no place?
Well, there's very little places to go, right?
You just go away from where the family is.
Anyway, it's a big world there with very few people in it. I'm just saying exile is, you know.
You can live anywhere but here.
Exile is go over a mile away, and you're in exile. Anyway, that's neither there nor here. Nod is the name of the
Is the region.
It's the region.
Yeah. Good, good.
Nod.
Okay. I'm just glad I'm not crazy.
No, you're right. I don't mind saying that. You were right, Ed.
How does that link to the Revolutionary War?
It's not. I'm gonna go home and tell my wife I was right today.
You were right.
Yes. So I'll sign something if you want us to.
Yeah, I may need your signature.
I think that was it.
You had the Concord, and then you had what was the other place?
Lexington,
and you had Nod. The shot heard around the world. In Nod.
You know, I just remember what it.
You remember
what,
that?
No, I'm thinking about Blinken, and Nod. That's the one I remember.
Blinken.
Whatever
that was,
they were.
That was a law firm.
I hear no evil. I see no evil. And I nod from time to time.
We have
called the law firm of Lincoln, and Nod.
Hey, let's go to Randy.
Let's do that.
In California. Hi, Randy.
He's in California?
I think so.
Good morning, professors.
Randy, is that California?
Yes, it is.
What part?
Northern California.
Okay, because I was a little rough on San Francisco earlier. Hey,
Randy's laughing.
Far away from me.
Ask, answer, or do both, Randy?
I'm just...
Hello?
You still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Okay. We just got a little glitch there. Ask, answer, or do both?
I'm just going to answer.
Okay, which one you want to answer?
The Eighth Amendment.
Okay, Randy, here's the question. The Eighth Amendment in the Bill of Rights protects citizens against three things. All you have to do, my brother, is name one.
Well, I have several pocket copies of the Constitution.
Good
so
for you.
Easy for me. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted.
Absolutely.
Nicely done. Hey, Randy, just going to label you as a patriot. Amen. Thank you for having a pocket constitution, knowing the answer to that. We need good civic responsibility, good citizens. That's one of the things that AFA does, along with equipping the church, is calling people to be patriotic.
You've been talking about Diane, your sweet wife, how she mistreats you. Does this fall under this? You got any rights here on this one? If you go to home and appeal and you date?
No, I will. If she was listening to this program, right. I would endure cruel and unusual punishment.
That's what I'm saying. Do you get cruel and unusual punishment?
So, guys, part of our work, we have to have our work insurance, we have to have a regular physical. A couple of years ago, my physical, I was used to, it says you go to the gym 3 to 5 times, you comfortable running a 5K, and first question, have you fallen in the last 6 months? I was like, that's an odd question. Yeah. So next question, is there anybody in your home that is threatening you? Do you feel safe in your own home? Well, then it started saying all these other kinds of things. This circled back around. You sure nobody intimidates you in your own home? You're not being threatened? And I looked at the front and the back. Whose sheet did they give me? And it's like I'm one step away from the nursing home. And I went, I'm in my 60s. And I've fallen into this category. Are you getting enough pudding, and all this? This little piece of me just died.
Hey, Randy, you live in California. How'd you learn about us? We don't have a radio station there.
I found you guys several years ago. Of course, I have the app on my phone.
Yeah.
And then, just going through it, and I found Trivia Friday. And I really enjoy it, especially the biblical questions.
Yes.
Because, sometimes, the church I go to, I go to the men's Bible study on Thursday evening. So I always have a couple of those for them, and they like them too.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, what's your question for us?
He just said
didn't have one today.
He just wanted to answer.
Hey, Randy, if you'll do us a favor and tell your conservative, patriotic friends in California to listen to us, and then both of y'all will be listening.
Also, Randy, I've got a food kit. Since you're a patriot, and
for prepping,
yeah, in case the end comes and you don't have enough corn or something, I'd like to provide it to you.
And it comes with a little solar panel.
I'll give you
you can tell from the language.
I'll give you my website in a few minutes
that Tim is using that he's really into prepping.
Thank you, Randy.
Have a great weekend. And boy, that's a beautiful part of the country, Northern California.
California is gorgeous.
Hey, every family needs one prepper, though.
Yes,
and we've got one.
Now, I'm not it, okay?
No.
But I know which kid to go to.
Yes.
Should
you probably have a couple in that category,
one of them's
don't
more,
you?
One of them's more planned than the other. Well, you got a prepper in yours?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
You do too?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know the past. If something happens and everybody gets scattered, I don't know the pen to be able to get to that rice.
I didn't
want to
beat
water.
One of the beans.
We just cleaned out our Y2K closet the other day.
Oh, that's wise.
The pantry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of those things were really outdated.
26 years later, I guess. So.
Well, you're not putting the right stuff in there. You need a Twinkie. That's got about a 50-year shelf life.
Yeah.
Why? Because of what all they put in there?
I've eaten ice cream that didn't melt after 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I don't know about 26 years.
Even the ramen
years.
Noodles, though, they outdate. They go out of date.
By the way, folks, I hope I just tease about my wife. She would never physically hurt me.
Make sure you clarify that. Physically.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
And those who went out before and those who followed cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest. To the east of Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley a little more than half a mile, a Sabbath day's journey, is the Mount of Olives. From its summit, one can see the panorama of Jerusalem. Some 15 miles to the east is the Dead Sea. Many are the memories associated with this holy hill. It was from the Mount of Olives Jesus looked over Jerusalem and wept. A chapel is built on the traditional site of his weeping. It is called Dominus Flevit, which is Latin for the Lord wept. Twice in the life of Jesus, we know he wept, at the death of his friend Lazarus and when he looked over the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. No doubt Jesus came often to this beautiful mount at evening when other men would go to their homes. Here amid the grove of olive trees, he would rest. Here in the stillness of the night, he could pray to the Father without interruption. Perhaps it was, as tradition says, on this hillside that he taught his disciples to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer. The church of the Paternoster, that is, Our Father, is built on the traditional site. Its walls contain the Lord's Prayer in more than 65 different languages. Truly, the prayer has been uttered in many times that number of languages. Located on the top of the Mount of Olives was the village of Bethphage. Here his disciples found the donkey he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The town was a probable dwelling place of Galileans, and Jesus would have been among familiar people. The Galileans were scorned by the more pious and religious citizens of Judea and Jerusalem. Down the mountainside Jesus rode that day, people along the way paved the road with palm branches and called him king. Both sides of the dusty road were lined with spectators singing praises to him. Little did they realize that in 5 days, this man who rode the donkey as a symbol of peace would be crucified by the Roman government as a revolutionary and troublemaker. What thoughts were in his mind as he rode past the Garden of Gethsemane? Were tears still flowing as he crossed the Kidron Valley and entered Jerusalem through the Golden Gate? And as he entered the temple area, did he think of turning back? Following his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus would come back to the Mount of Olives. He would walk through its groves and remember all that had taken place on its slopes. And here on this mountainside, he would be lifted up into heaven. Some 500 years later, some devout followers of his would erect the Chapel of the Ascension in memory of that magnificent event. It is a bit of irony, or perhaps the plan of Providence, that on the Mount of Olives, Jesus faced his darkest night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his brightest day at the site of the Ascension. The Mount of Olives reminds one of many things concerning our Lord. It was a kind of refuge away from the crowd for him. It was a place where he could be alone with his Father. We need a place like that also. It was a place of sorrow, and each of us must face that side of life. But it was also the site of his ascension where he went to be at home with his Father. Hopefully, each of us will have our own Mount of Olives.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've got some great tours lined up for March of 2027. We've got one tour we call the Footsteps of Paul Tour. That's mainly in Greece, or only in Greece, including Athens and Corinth and Thessalonica. And then we've got a separate tour to Italy, where we're going to Venice and Florence and Pisa and Rome and all the sites of Italy. So, you can do both of these tours if you want to. We've arranged that as well. Also, this tour of Italy, it's not like the Olive Garden tour of Italy, you know. We're really going there to Italy to see Italy and to eat Italian food, too, as well. So for information on any of the tours I've mentioned here, go to tours.afa.net. tours.afa.net, tours.afa.net.
Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. 1 Peter 4:12.
I wonder if Tom Cruise is going to make it this time. Do you think of Tom Cruise or do you think of the TV show when you hear that?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I always loved that theme, but it was, some people may not know, it was from a TV show originally.
Yeah. The TV show sparked the movie idea, and then the movie industry took off.
Tom Cruise, 8 movies, I think, later.
All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, also known as
Learning University.
Let's give our questions one more time, another time, and then we'll get back to the phones.
All right, I'm going to add one question.
You had one
answered. I'm adding away.
First
question, what are considered the three Scandinavian countries? Can you name them, the three Scandinavian countries? Second question, what hero of the Revolutionary War was nicknamed the Swamp Fox? And then third question, only 2 days in your life aren't 24 hours long. What are they? Only 2 days in your life aren't 24 hours long. What are they?
Here's what I've got. Bible question. Although Jesus never had favorites, three disciples appeared with Jesus more often than most. And I'll give you the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jairus' daughter was raised back to life. The Garden of Gethsemane, you see these three disciples. Name them. Second question, what Greek physician is known as the father of medicine? His name, when you think about it, when you remember it, it shows up in a lot of medical terms.
Yeah, it does.
What Greek physician, I never can tell if Tim knows it, or if he's just throwing us off the trail, throwing us off the scent. What Greek physician is known as the father of medicine? Third question, true or false, every 3 days, your stomach manufactures a new lining.
Wow.
Is that true or false? If it's true, I say go ahead and order anchovies on that pizza. Don't worry about that. What is it, that Phineas scale or how, whatever that scale?
Scoville.
Scoville scale of how hot
anchovies
peppers are.
Anchovies aren't hot.
No, they're not hot, but they're disgusting.
Salty.
They're nasty and sickening.
Hey,
but eat those. No, eat those. Sorry for you that worked
My mom loved anchovies. I'm glad she's not alive to hear that, JJ.
Okay. Yeah.
Disgusting.
There's other things I can think of that are like a stomach bomb. Eat this, add that, and they don't go together. Go ahead and do it, because your stomach, if this is true, is going to make a new line in 3 days.
So we went to an Indian restaurant the other night, which we've been to 4 or 5 times, and I've enjoyed it. But the other night, I ordered something. And it didn't have the, now on these, on Indian restaurants, I think most, they had the red hot, they had the warning.
Little pepper?
Well, they have the warning sign on the dish. Okay, this is going to make you cry.
This is going to be, you're going to need a new stomach lining.
Right. Well, this didn't have a warning on it. So I ordered it because, I mean, I like spicy food. But
yeah.
And I hit into that thing and I was like seeing double after about 2 minutes. Huh?
I did the same thing at that restaurant.
You did?
I like spicy food.
You better
food.
Be careful.
Are you guys talking about the same restaurant for real?
Yeah, it's an Indian restaurant. I'm just saying that Mexicans got nothing on the Indian.
You are right.
Huh?
Absolutely. Curry and all that
curry,
stuff.
Yeah.
I did the same thing because I generally like spicy food.
Right.
And the waitress said, now that's a little bit spicy.
Right.
And I said, that's okay.
Right.
I couldn't finish it.
Right. The same way.
And we took it over to my son's house because he likes spicy food even more than I do. And he texted us back and he said, I had to throw it out. It was too hot. And the waitress said, it's a little spicy.
Yeah.
Melanie and I were in New Mexico. I asked, after the event was over, I asked a couple of the locals getting gas, where do you guys eat? I don't want to go to the Taco Bell. I want to go. We went in an all-Mexican neighborhood down an alley and ate at this authentic place. They said, you want the mild, medium, or hot? I said medium. Melanie said, don't do it.
Yeah.
For the same
right,
reason.
Yeah,
I said, I like reasonably right. hot. But she said, don't do it. When I took a few bites, immediately my forehead broke
yes,
out in
that,
sweat.
That really happens.
No, I'm telling
yeah.
you,
people
the honest
you're kidding.
Truth. Then it felt like I had a band around my chest, and right. I started gasping for breath. My tongue was on fire. I put my tongue down in my glass of water. Mel said, that is a little bit tacky. You know, we're in here with people, and you got your tongue just hanging out and into, well, but with the ice. But I started, I wondered if I was going to have a heart attack. I couldn't hardly get my breath, and I only took about 10 bites of the food. I didn't even finish it.
Just to close this subject out, okay, it was so rough on me, waiter was looking, he saw me physically. I said, he came to our table, and I said, sir, my mouth is like an inferno.
And I need, disco inferno?
He said, I'll get you something. He went and got me a concoction of mango juice and yogurt mixed together. And he said,
are you being serious right now?
No, I'm dead serious. He said, this will put it out for you. This will help.
Mango juice and yogurt. That's
mango juice and yogurt.
Good eating right there.
Combo. Anyway,
was it a little tiny fire extinguisher?
It was meant to soothe your the burning.
Because it's an oil. The stuff that's hot is an oil. That's why you can't get it off your tongue. So that must break it down.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
Wow.
All right, here we go. Here am I
going there to eat?
I'll go back. Just going to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, my wife's food was very tasty.
I'll go back. I like it, but they have other things other than, hot coals that you can digest.
Well,
where were
my
we?
My name is Dad.
What's
Cole,
going on
I'll
here?
You've given all your questions?
I've given mine. Your turn.
Here are mine. What is the most popular kind of mushroom for cooking in the U.S.? And number two, what musical term describes a gradual increase in volume in a piece of music? Back to the phones, Ed.
That's only two.
That's all I'm giving.
They answer that, they can get
for
more.
Thanks him.
Yeah. You say that every week.
I know. Be prepared.
Yeah.
Missouri, and Dennis is on the line. Dennis, welcome to Trivia Friday, brother.
Good morning, professors. It's an honor to talk with y'all.
Hey, Dennis, inquiring minds want to know, Missouri or Missouri?
Well, I was born in northern Missouri, so I call it Missouri.
Yeah.
Down in this, I live down by Springfield, Missouri, and so it's common for them to say Missouri. So.
Yeah, I think
it depends on where you live.
Yeah, what part of the state you're from, north or south. All right, Dennis. Yeah. Well, listen, my friend, thanks for calling from Missouri. That's what I call it. You want to ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay. Go ahead with which one you want to answer?
The one about the Scandinavian countries.
Here we
go. All right, sir, here's the question. What are considered the three Scandinavian countries?
Well, I hope I'm right on this. Norway, Finland, and Sweden.
No, sir. Finland is a Nordic country, but it is not considered Scandinavian. The Scandinavian countries have a similar language. So you did get Norway and Sweden correct. And so,
in the words of Meatloaf, two out of three ain't bad.
I tell you what, since you seem like a nice person, I'll give you one more shot for the third one.
Denmark
is correct.
Hey, nicely done.
That is correct.
And that's why you're allowed three strikes in baseball right there.
He fouled it off.
That's
yes.
it.
He fouled it off, and he got another pitch. So what's the answer?
So Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. If you're talking about the Nordic countries, you can add Finland, Iceland, and then territories like the Faroe Islands or the soon-to-be 51st state of Greenland. Which that's a territory of Denmark.
You know, I mean this in all sincerity. We learn a lot on this show because I didn't know that. And I actually struggle when somebody says, oh, this is happening in UK or this is happening in Europe. I've never been real sure which countries make up what. So thank you for that question.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Hey, how did you know that, Dennis? Are you just pretty good with geography?
Well, I kind of like to think I am, but I'm retired military. I was I've been on ships, and so those things I just kind of know.
Hey, yeah. Thank you
for your service.
Give us a couple of places you went in the Navy that you really enjoyed going to.
Well, I went to Italy. I was stationed in Italy. I was stationed in Egypt. Stationed in Japan, the Philippines. I was in Vietnam during the war.
Wow.
Man, you've been around the world.
I did get to do.
So,
I'm in the Caribbean. But one thing I got to do that many people can't say, I was with a helicopter pilot one day. We were going in because my job was taking care of the mail. And our ship, we were going in to get the mail from the local airport. And during the flight, the pilot said, "Hey, you want to do something crazy?" And I said, "Yeah, why not?" So he said, "Let's go fly around the Leaning Tower of Pisa." So we were in Hilo. We went around the Leaning Tower of Pisa several times and flew over it and everything. So that was quite an experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's had that opportunity?
Dennis, you've been around the world.
So, Dennis, when you saw that recruiting poster that said, "Join the Navy and see the world," they lived up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I only went to the Navy recruiter because he was the closest one.
Well, Dennis, go ahead with your question for us.
Now, other than the pyramids, what was the second tallest building in the ancient world, and where was it located?
What was it?
Second tallest building in the ancient world other than the pyramids.
It was the Tower of Babel, but it didn't last very long. I had a good idea.
Was it the Tower of Babel?
I'm going to say Tower of Babel. Well, no, he said ancient world. Yeah, I'm going to stick with that.
I think
he got pretty tall before the Lord confused them and scattered them out and gave them different languages.
Would a statue, can I choose a statue, or are we just talking about a building, Dennis?
I guess you could go with a statue if you want.
You thinking the Sphinx?
I'm going with the Colossus of Rhodes. That was a statue.
Yeah.
The Harbor of Rhodes.
Like the Rhodes Scholar? Is that where that comes from?
No, I don't think that comes from the
Rhodes,
island of Rhodes.
Same place?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the answer, Dennis?
It was the Pharaoh's Lighthouse located in Alexandria.
Alexandria. All right.
How tall was it?
310 feet high.
Can you imagine?
He's talking about Alexandria, Greece, right?
No, Egypt.
Alexandria, Egypt.
Egypt. And so there was a lighthouse that they built back in.
Yeah.
How long ago? What time period are we talking about?
We're talking something like, in the B.C., like 300 B.E. I think
Alexander the Great built it. That's where the city of Alexandria is named after Alexander.
Let me give you a little word picture, guys, on a construction site. So one of those guys says, "Hey, get a crane with a real stiff cable to bring this up now that we're at 250, almost 300 feet." Cranes aren't going to be invented a couple thousand years from now, but we've got these rickety bamboo scaffolding,
right?
And we got ropes.
And
we've got is ropes.
And we got some slave labor.
And we're at 300 feet tall.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Can you imagine how? And no OSHA around to regulate anything.
All right, brother Dennis, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for your service.
Amen.
Dude.
Who's next, Ed?
All right, we go to Arkansas, and Charles is on the line. Charles, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Welcome. How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing good, Brother Charles. Thanks for calling. Where do you live in Arkansas?
Great metropolis of Hampton.
Hampton.
Hampton? H-A-M-P-T-O-N? Is that what you said?
Right. Yes.
Okay. That's near where?
El Dorado.
Oh, yeah, El Dorado.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Good area.
All right, been there. For sure.
So you would tell people you live in the Hamptons.
That's pretty good, JJ.
Wow, that's highfalutin. Yeah.
Talking about high cotton, and you say, let me clarify that. It's still a great place, but let me add a little more clarity.
That's funny.
All right, Charles, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'm going to do both.
All right, which one you want to try to answer?
Well, I don't know whether to answer the most popular disciples or the mushroom question. I think I'm going to try the mushroom question.
All right, I shall bring forth the mushroom question, which have
heretofore
gone unanswered. That is, and Charles is going to answer it. I just feel confident about it.
Ask your psychedelic question.
Charles, what is the most popular kind of mushroom for cooking in the United States?
Well, I want to say portobello, but I think this is a trick question. So I'm going to say that little white mushroom.
Could you be a little more clear?
I'm a little more specific.
Yeah.
The little white mushroom.
We stopped there on our cruise.
Portobello?
Yeah. I remember us. We took our little dinghy in the shore. You could put a parrot on your shoulder for $1. And they'd braid your hair.
Portobello, that was nice, but just the bellum itself was, that city was just beautiful.
Yeah, the entire bellum was nice. It was extra. Good.
Charles, is that true? You said little white. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the little white mushrooms they put in everything.
Huh? Yeah.
What you're talking about, but when your wife sends you to Walmart with the shopping list, you're gonna come back with some real vague things.
This is how you get yourself in trouble as a husband.
All right, Charles, do you know the proper name of these mushrooms? Oh, well, they're the slang name. Actually, they're not the proper name. The mushrooms you're talking
about. Any better name than a little white
mushroom? I'll give it to him.
All right, is that what it is?
No, it's not called. called little. Little white mushrooms were a singing group.
It was back in the 60s, wasn't
back
it?
Back in the 60s.
You had the Beach Boys.
Beatles, and the Little White Mushrooms.
Yes.
And I
who
think,
can forget that?
They opened at Woodstock.
A couple of them got strung out on drugs, and it ruined their chances. It was sad.
It is a sad story.
You can watch a documentary on it. Go on YouTube.
First time calling, and y'all are making fun of me.
We're not making fun of you.
We are absolutely laughing.
At least it's not to your face, Charles. It is over the radio.
we're laughing with you, Charles.
I think we're laughing at him.
Okay. No, I think we're roughing him up pretty good.
We're roughing him up.
Sorry about that,
but Charles.
Charles
can take it.
We've had a lot of coffee.
He lives in the Hamptons. What more does he want?
So may I answer the question?
Yes,
please.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Charles is correct in his description. What is the most popular kind of mushroom for cooking in the United States? 90% of the mushrooms we cook, as Charles said, little white mushrooms, are button.
That's the name of them.
You knew that?
Okay. No, I was
going to guess portobello.
They're called button. 90% in the U.S. of the mushrooms that we use in food are called button mushrooms, or as Charles calls them, the little white mushrooms.
Now you knew about portobello.
I was going to guess about. We cook with those all the time.
So you and Charles
they're the big meaty ones.
Yeah, real big ones. You remember the last time we talked about mushrooms on the air? I showed my absolute appalling ignorance. I thought that people just went out in the fields and into the woods.
That was embarrassing.
Gathered them up in a knapsack.
That was,
remember that.
Not your finest moment.
That was pure ignorance.
Thank you, Charles.
No, he's got to go with
it. Oh, yeah. You got a question for us?
I have a question. Who originally wrote Respect that was sung by Aretha Franklin?
Oh, Tim knows this one.
Recorded.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Oh, yeah.
Sing a little bit of it, Tim, our listeners
know. don't get me going, because I can sing. A lot of people don't know that about me.
Try a few. You need to. For me to sing, I need to eat a few little white mushrooms first.
You do? So, Respect. Who
wrote it originally? Recorded it.
Well, of course, like you're saying, Charles, Aretha Franklin owns that song. I mean, she that was one of her top five hits. Can you give me any more hints?
It's a man.
It's a man.
Hey,
thanks for narrowing that down.
I'm gonna throw a crazy one out there. this guy from Pontotoc, who Jim somebody, I think, Pontotoc, Mississippi, because he wrote that Midnight Train to Georgia.
Really?
Yes, from right down the road here. But he wrote several huge hits that others recorded.
Wow.
And it was their signature song.
I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say Sam Cooke.
No, Otis Redding.
Otis Redding.
Otis Redding.
You know, he wrote that when he was sitting on the dock of a bay. I mean, he was sitting there watching the tide roll away, and he said, I got an idea for a song.
Then he took the Midnight Train to Georgia.
Y'all can go on the radio with this. Right. You have something.
Yeah, we got something cooking, don't we?
Charles, I really have been trying to talk these guys into us going on the road and on location doing Trivia Friday. I just think we'd have so much fun with the live audience. And you've proved that. Man, you've been such a good sport. Thanks for taking all that ribbing.
Yeah, thank you for being what really was a good sport.
From one group of Southern boys to another.
Send him a T-shirt.
All right. Well, you want a T-shirt since we wore you out a little bit there?
A Learning University T-shirt.
I sure do.
All right.
What size? How big a boy are you?
Don't answer that, Charles. Now, we're giving him the T-shirt because we were roughing him up a little bit.
We got to know his size.
Yeah, can do that. The screener, call screener can do that.
Yeah, we'll get somebody to get that information.
I'm just trying to save a step. Okay, you guys. Charles, are your feelings hurt? Because I asked you.
It's too late to ask that.
How big you are?
You're not supposed to body shame people.
Okay. You're right.
You,
he's been
Charles.
Paying attention.
Thank
Charles,
you, Charles.
I'm going to put you on hold. Old brother, thank you for being a good sport. You made this segment, and put you on hold, and then we'll get your information and send you a T-shirt.
Yes, may your tribe increase and enjoy.
So you're telling me
mushrooms for the rest of the
asking
life.
What T-shirt size you want is body shaming somebody, and this is what we come to in America, huh? Are we so sensitive?
Well, I know I'm sensitive.
Yeah, okay. Yeah I'm sensitive.
Charles might have been sensitive.
And you both are sensitive men. I know. We're at a crossroads here.
Well, we could questions again.
I tell you what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. We will reset our questions now so that when we get back from the break, we don't have to.
You're counting our listeners having a good memory.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, don't eat too many mushrooms, between now and
and don't go in the kitchen break. After we do it because you'll say, what did I come in here for?
All right, go ahead, Ed.
All right, I've got two questions, and I'm not going to add a third.
Wait till one of those are answered.
Yeah.
All
right, here's one of the two I have remaining. What hero of the Revolutionary War was nicknamed the Swamp Fox?
Swamp Fox.
Second question, only 2 days in your life aren't 24 hours long. What are they? That's what I've got.
Jesus had no favorites, but it looks like he may have had an inner circle. These three disciples were with him at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jairus' daughter was healed, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, other places. So three disciples appeared with Jesus more often than most. Name these three disciples. Second question, what Greek physician is known as the father of medicine? Third question, true or false? Every 3 days, your stomach manufactures a new lining. Is that true or false?
If that's true, I don't know. I've not ever heard that
before.
That's
a good thing if it's true. Well, yeah, it may be just completely made up.
Yeah, but a new lining every three, what'd you say?
Every 3 days.
3 days, your stomach makes a new lining. We're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah. Okay, here are my first one is, what musical term describes a gradual increase in volume in a piece of music?
In most circumstances?
Yes, under normal conditions.
Under normal circumstances. We didn't
my
use
second
that in a while.
Question is this. For it's from the world of literature.
Literature.
Literature. What is the title of the first book in J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings trilogy? What's the title of the first book?
A lot of people are going to know that.
Okay. All right, we shall return momentarily with more of Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. So hang around.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.